Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it didn't collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, unlike their scribes. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus summarizes exactly how we're supposed to respond to all that he's been teaching us over these last 2.5 weeks. It's one of his most famous images that help us to know how we're always supposed to respond to his word. It's not just someone who prays, cry out, "Lord, Lord," who's going to enter heaven, who's going to ultimately please the Lord. It's not somebody who works miracles, not somebody who does exorcisms alone. It's the one who does the will of the Father in heaven. And Jesus describes to us throughout the Sermon on the Mount and beyond, what is that will? What is that word? To help us to become truly Mary and his disciples, so that our entire life may flow from what he teaches us. So he gives this famous image, which is beautiful, on a day of heavy rain, about the foundation of our life. Are we going to build on rock, or are we going to build on sand? Much easier to build on sand than rock. In the Holy Land, as you probably know, they have seasonal rains. When it rains, it really rains. And everything starts flowing down into these beds that over the course of time, because they're just flowing with so much stuff, become very flat. For most of the rest of the year, it looks like a great place to build. You've got beautiful mountains on both sides. You don't have to do all that much foundational work because everything is pretty much already planar. But then when the rains come, there's no chance for that house built with a foundation in sand, and it's swept away. Jesus is a tecton, as a construction worker, and the putative son of a tecton, St. Joseph, knew very much about how to build. It was more difficult to build on the sides of hills, very difficult to build on the soil where there was limestone throughout much of the country, 3 to 5 inches under the ground. Required a lot of skill, a lot of measurement, a lot of patience. But once foundations had been set in stone, when those same storms came, the house would stand strong. Jesus uses that architectural image for our faith. We can try to do it the very easy way, the pleasant sides of our faith. But when the storms really come, when those contradictions are severe, when we're really suffering, it's not enough. He wants us to build on the entirety of his word, because when we do, that's when the storms don't knock us off. Let's just review a little bit the words Jesus is asking us to build our lives on. To build our lives on the Beatitudes, to be truly poor in spirit, to be meek, to be peacemakers, to be pure of heart. We'll get to that back in a second with St. Irenaeus. To hunger and thirst for holiness. To be willing to be persecuted for the sake of his holy name. To be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Then he got to those seven antinomies, we'd call it. The contrast between what Moses said and what Jesus was saying is he was fulfilling every aspect of the law. That we're not only not going to commit sins in our bodies, we're not going to allow the roots of those sins any place within our heart. So we'll look purely. We won't let hatred spill over. We won't let resentment or a sense of vengeance take over. But we'll allow his own love to grow within us so that we're loving even our enemies. We're loving those who are making the storms. We're praying for those who are persecuting us. And he goes on because he really wants us to root ourselves firmly in what he teaches us about the Father. How we can genuinely pray to the Father, not just crying out, Lord, Lord, and then doing whatever we want, but crying out to our Father in heaven, saying, Thy will be done, Thy kingdom come, Thy name be hallowed. And then rest in his providence, in his mercy, in his protective love. Because we know that he cares for us more than the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. So we ask, knowing that he already knows what we need to build our life on the rock of his word. St. Irenaeus was one who did. He was living during the very difficult second century where there were more heresies than cable television channels today. And he needed patiently to help people build their life truly on Jesus and what he had revealed. Because there were so many Gnostic ideas being invented. But he did so. Eventually he suffered and was killed for it. He was willing to build his life even in death, even in his blood, on Jesus who had given his blood for him. St. Irenaeus' most famous saying is one that, in my opinion, we could spend the entire rest of our life pondering. Gloria Dei vivens homo et vita hominis visio Dei. That the glory of God is man fully alive, and the life of man is the vision of God. Now that obviously refers to heaven. That heavenly glory is consumed by this, what we would call with St. Thomas, beatific vision, this vision of the Lord that makes us blessed. It's not just our looking at him, it's his looking at us. When we begin to recognize that that's heaven, then we can anticipate heaven here on earth, because the kingdom that Jesus has been proclaiming throughout the Sermon on the Mount is, as theologians say, both now and not yet. It's something that we have an embryonic participation in right now. God's not going to begin to look at us later. He's looking at us already. And the way we come fully alive is when we spend our life in that gaze. God wants us to become fully alive. He wants us to abide in him, as he's told us yesterday. If we're a good tree, we will bear good fruit. As the Alleluia verse said, we will be a good tree if we, as branches on the vine, innest ourselves in Jesus. To look at Jesus on the inside, to see himself glancing at us with merciful love at all times, protective love, and trusting love, changes everything. That's what helped to make St. Irenaeus strong when it seemed that there was a storm on every side almost 365 days a year. Jesus wishes to give us that same gift, to make it all possible every day. He comes and implants himself within us for real, so that he, the master builder, the tecton, will help us to build